For our afternoon service, and a good afternoon to all of you that have joined us. I'm also mindful that there could be others that are in a different time zone, but if it's evening, good evening to you as well. If it's morning, good morning to you. Well, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Jude. And I'll commence reading from verse 17. But you must remember, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passion. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hurting even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen. We are back in our study of the book of Jude. And whenever I'm preaching, we've been going through the book of Jude. 2 weeks ago, when I stood to preach, we looked at verse 21 and the second half of that verse, or the last half, where Jude says, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And what we're really seeing from there was the need for us to persevere in our hope. Now, as I've said, we must not forget the content, the context rather, of the book of Jude's letter. Jude is writing to Christians to contend for the faith. And as he's doing so, from verse 17 to verse 23, he begins to bring out what I've been calling the antidote to apostasy. And as he's been doing that, Jude's concern is that if believers do not know what the apostles say, and they are not making progress in those truths, they will not contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And 2 weeks ago we saw that persevering in our hope is one way to contend for the faith. Because as we do so, we are showing those around us, but also the false teachers, that our focus is not on what they teach or the promises they offer, but our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, who will soon return and put an end to life as we know it on earth. This evening, we come to verse 22 and verse 23. And again here we see the sixth antidote, as it were, to apostasy. And that's conducting ourselves with Christian grace. Or to make it more singular, conducting yourself with Christian grace. Now, verse 22 and 23 is is one of those verses, as some other verses in the Bible, where the Greek rendering of those words is not so easy. And hence, when you read different commentaries or different individuals, they have different thoughts and put different emphasis on what Jude is really trying to say. Others, one group of thought is that Jude is basically telling us how to evangelize to different groups of people. And so in those groups of people, you have those who are doubting, you have those who you must hate their garments and things like that. Now granted, because of the difficulty in which the Jude's Greek is, you'll understand why most of them will look at these verses and try to say Jude is giving us some kind of evangelistic method. But when I look at Jude's words, actually in context, it's very clear that in these two verses, Jude is more, yes, it's talking about defending the faith. He's talking about also indirectly our outreach efforts, as it were, because as we defend the faith, we will ministering to God's, ministering God's word. But when you look at how he connects where he's coming from, and verse 22 and 23, for me it's very clear that Jude is more concerned with our conduct to people around us, and how we conduct ourselves to those around us will be a means of ministry and evangelism to them. Now remember verse 21, he's basically talking about us looking forward to the return of Christ, waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And then he begins with that word, and. And he's saying, as we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we wait for his return, we must not forget our responsibility around, with people around us. And we must be able to conduct ourselves with Christian grace, so that those who are trying to win over, who have been sold to heresy, may be able to see the Christian conduct, the Christian grace in our lives, and they themselves be able to judge that there's a difference between what they've been following and what is being presented before them. And so these words in verse 22 and 23 ought to give us this sense of privilege, resolve to conduct ourselves with Christian grace in the midst of the world that is mocking at the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an avenue that God will use to minister to them, but also that will help us to contend for the faith. So, what is this conduct of grace, that Christian grace, that Jude is really drawing our attention to? The first conduct of Christian grace is that of showing mercy. Showing mercy. And that's what he says in the first part of verse 22. And he's saying, have mercy on those who doubt. And he's basically saying, show mercy. And who are we to show mercy to? To those who doubt. Now, the people that Jude have in mind must not be confused with the people Jude was describing from verse 12 all the way to verse 16. Individuals who have willfully gone out of their way to mock and scorn at the message of Christ. Jude here is not talking about these false teachers who found their way in the church and therefore they are using everything within them to mock at the grace of God. The people Jude has in mind here are people who have sincere doubts. People who may not be sure of what they believe anymore due to the fact that they've been bombarded with wrong teaching. And Jude is saying, have mercy on those who doubt. And again there, Jude, the present imperative nature of the text shows us that Jude is actually commanding. He's issuing a command. He's not suggesting that when we feel like showing mercy, we must do so. He's actually saying we must be ready to show mercy on those who doubt. Now, remember where we're coming from. The saints were going through various trials. They're going through a difficult period. There are those who had come into the church and teaching wrong things. And then there was also the teachings of the apostles. And so there were those who were now getting confused. What is it that they needed to believe? The apostles' teaching or the teachings of these who had found their way in the church? And hence Jude is saying, have mercy on those who doubt. And really the picture that Jude is giving us is that of a pharmacist or a doctor. Now, a doctor will never say to a patient, no, last week I gave you medicine, so therefore this week no. Or even a pharmacist, they will continue to dispense medicine as long as the patient requires the medicine. Now, this is exactly what Jude is saying. That we need to be like God's pharmacists or God's doctors who are ready to dispense mercy to those who are doubting. We must not be able to say to them, look, this was the issue last week. And again, you've come with the same issue. No, Jude is saying, no, be ready to show mercy to those who doubt. Now, trials have a way of bringing doubts in Christians. Sometimes it's also younger Christians who may live in doubt. When they are at church with their friends, they are so thrilled with the truth that they are seeing in the scriptures. And then when they go out there, they meet non-Christians. If it's in schools or universities, they meet professors who mock at their Bible. And they begin to doubt whether what they've believed is true or not. And Jude is saying, show mercy to those who doubt. Now, when you're going through a period of doubt as a child of God, do not go into isolation. Go out and seek help. Be helped to have the same footing of the things that you believe in. You are not the first one. You won't be the last one. In fact, many of some of the great preachers we we enjoy today and read are their own doubts. Listen to what Spurgeon says. He wrote, and I quote, "I think when a man says, 'I never doubt,' it is quite time for us to doubt him. It is quite time for us to begin to say, 'Ah, poor soul, I'm afraid you're not on the path at all. For if you were, you would see so many things in yourself and see so much glory in Christ more than you deserve, that you'd be so much ashamed of yourself as even to say, it is good to be true that Christ died for me." Martin Luther, at one point, the crushing doubt in his calling led him to an intense depression that he wrote, "For more than a week, I was close to the gates of death and hell. I trembled in my all members. Christ was totally lost. I was shaken by depression and blasphemy of God." John Calvin, this is what he said. "Surely, while we teach that faith ought to be certain and assured, we cannot imagine any certainty that is not colored with doubt, or any assurance that is not stormed by some anxiety." Now, these were real Christians. We enjoy their reading, but there are their own moments of doubt. And Jude is saying, show mercy to those who doubt. This must be your Christian conduct. Show this Christian grace towards such individuals. And Jude knew it very well, that there were those who had been listening to the apostles' teaching, following the teachings of the apostles. And then here came a group of eloquent individuals with their flamboyance of words. They began to sweep off believers and slowly moving them away from the teachings of the apostles. And Jude is saying, show mercy to these individuals. They are in doubt, yes, but show mercy to them, and your conduct towards them will help them to see how they've wandered from the truth that they treasured once upon a time. We are living in a time when the scriptures are not believed as the absolute final authority of God. Christianity is being mocked. And this has a way of causing many to doubt. They need our encouragement. They need us to help them, not to tear them apart, but to help them. We need to patiently, firmly reach out to them, show mercy to them, and help them to see the truth of God's word. They need to be swept away by the truth of the scriptures. We need to bring them back to see the authenticity of the scriptures, and that they can totally depend on God's word. And also need to show them that the word of God is trustworthy. Not just a time when Christianity is receiving knuckles from all angles, but also living at the time of COVID-19. It has a way of bringing doubts to even genuine believers. And it's a time for us to show them the Father's love for them, Christ's love for them, and now that the Holy Spirit has sealed us for redemption, and we are on the watchful eyes of the triune God. And our Christian conduct know it's there is what will help them to come back to the fold, or to help them see the truth of the Scriptures. During this time, as our pastor did pray, with messages all over Facebook, there are those who are now getting confused to what is it that they believe, as they are being exposed to all kinds of preachers, and some who ooze with eloquence and ooze with authority. Jude is saying, show mercy to those who doubt. And the second conduct of Christian grace is that we must show agency in dealing, in defending or contending for the faith. We must show agency when contending for the faith. This is what he says in verse 23, the first part. And have mercy on those who doubt. Verse 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. And the picture here Jude gives us is the picture of immediate and urgent attention. The word save is from the Greek word sozo. And it is also in the present imperative tense, which means it's a command. And it's a command which calls for immediate, fast, and continuous action. And he's saying, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Jude is basically saying, we need to be active in taking responsibility to those of our numbers within the church, but also we need to be active in taking responsibility to those outside the church. We have a responsibility to evangelize. And while we have this responsibility to guard those who are in the church, he's saying we must not forget those who are out there. We must see this danger they are in. And it requires an immediate and yet continuous action from those of us who are inside, in Christ. Because we are the ones who are able to see the danger they are in. And he says, show this agency as you contend for the faith. Don't be so blinded to that fact. See that as you contend for the faith, see the true reality of those outside Christ. And obviously, when you see the word save, it immediately gives you the idea that there's something that needs to be rescued. Save means to rescue something from danger. And this is not a mild suggestion that Jude is giving to his audience. It is a strong command to take action. And it must be done fast. And again, this is where the difficulty of Jude's Greek comes in. Because the debate then here is, who is Jude referring to when he says save others by snatching them out of the fire? Is he referring to Christians or non-Christians? And again, if we look at the context of the letter, Jude is writing to those who are called, beloved in God, and kept for Jesus Christ. That's what he tells us in verse 1. And so Jude is writing to Christians, and he's saying to Christians, we have a duty to those fellow believers who are fleeting or who are being swept away by the false teaching, but at the same time, we have the responsibility towards those who are outside the fold of Christ. He's writing to both, and more particularly within the context, to Christians. That's what he's saying. It is possible to be in the church and yet be lost. It is possible to have a sense of false assurance because you've done something that the false teachers have taught you, or you've undergone some kind of religious ritual activity at the hands of false teachers, and therefore you feel a sense of security. And Jude is saying, no, examine yourself. Because if you are not examining yourself, you may actually find that you're outside Christ and undergo the punishment of fire, which is really a reference to God's judgment. Remember in verse 7, he had already talked about those who underwent the fires as he looks at Sodom and Gomorrah. And here again, when he talks of fire, he's basically saying he has in mind God's judgment. And when he has God's judgment, he's basically saying even those in the church must work their salvation with fear and trembling and know that they're in Christ. Otherwise, they will be swept into eternal fire at the hands of false teachers within the church. And our conduct must be that we must show agency in contending for the faith by preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the preaching of the gospel of Christ as it that will continue to push the frontiers of darkness. It is not just us closing ourselves into our building and saying we are contending for the faith. It is us conducting ourselves in the midst of a world that's against God. And as they see our lives, we preach Christ, and therefore darkness is being pushed backwards, and the kingdom of God continues to march forward. And Jude is saying this must be done with agency, because people are dangling over the fires of hell, and they may be lost forever. But in the third place, as he brings out the third conduct of Christian grace, is that of showing sensitivity in contending for the faith. Showing sensitivity. And this is what he says to others: show mercy mixed with fear. Show mercy mixed with fear, or show mercy with fear, as the English Standard Version puts it. To others, show mercy with fear. Now again, Jude has in mind here that those who are being swept by false teaching are still in the church. And as they expose themselves to the teaching of these false teachers, they are slowly being enticed to what they teach. And as they are slowly being enticed to what they teach, that eventually may become their lifestyle. What they are seeing in these false teachers and what they are being taught as the word of God. And then Jude says, show mercy with fear. And the Greek word for fear comes from the Greek word phobos. Now phobos gives us this, that's why you get phobia, anglophobia, hydrophobia, and all those things. It just gives you, what is it that we're afraid of? Now here the word phobos, as Jude uses it, it's a word that evokes fear or a strong dose of respect for something that is life-threatening or something that is dangerous. The way he's using it, he's basically saying you need to show mercy with fear. There must be this sense of life-threatening, as it were, as you deal with those who are at the mercy of false teachers. Jude is saying, have mercy on them, but remember, what they're being exposed to is something that must be treated as life-threatening. And this is what Jude's words to the saints are. He's using the word fear to let us see that what the false teachers are bringing is something that is dangerous because it leads God's people away from God's word. It's life threatening. So Jude is addressing individuals who are afflicting with false doctrine. Those who have begun to follow such false teachers, and they are slowly committing themselves and slowly drinking in their error and slowly forgetting what the scriptures are saying and just wanting to hear what these individuals have to say. And Jude is saying, have mercy with fear. Have compassion. Because they're being deceived. But you are to be cautious as you deal with them yourself. Again, we must think of it. The picture Jude is giving us here is, think of the person who's drowning. When a person is drowning, if you've ever been taught how to swim, or you've had an opportunity to do swimming lessons, the first thing you're taught when someone is drowning, you are warned that you as a rescuer need to be cautious lest the drowning person drowns you in trying to rescue them, because they are in such a chaotic state of panic. So if you're not careful, when they get hold of you, you may drown together, or they may end up drowning you and they themselves survive, because they're in a state of panic. Or think of it another way, of a medical doctor or medical personnel, particularly in this time of COVID. The medical personnel are aware that COVID is contagious. And as they deal with individuals who are affected by the coronavirus, the medical personnel have mercy on the patient because they know the seriousness of the disease. But at the same time, they are dealing it with fear because they know that they themselves can contract the disease. And because they are called to that field, they tread carefully, compassionately, but observing all possible measures so that they themselves do not become victims of a disease. We've heard of doctors who've died o médico personnel. We also remember a few years during the Ebola of medical personnel that died. And this is what Jude is saying, teach her it this way. False teaching is contagious. So we need to have mercy on those that are being led astray. Because we know that what they are holding on to is not what the scriptures teach. And those of us who know what the scriptures teach, or those of us who are growing in our understanding of the truth of the scriptures, when we look at individuals who are being misled, who, and the teachings they receive every week has nothing to do with God's word, has nothing to do with God's glory, we feel sorry for them. We are merciful. Because they're being deceived. But you would say you must do that with fear. Lest you yourself, if you do not progress in the faith, you may become victim of the false teaching of these individuals. Say, show mercy. That's Jude's message. But fourthly and lastly, the conduct of Christian grace, Jude said, is that of showing purity. Showing purity. And this is what Jude tries to capture, is capturing in the last part of verse 23. Hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Jude is saying we need to retain a godly hatred for sin. And he's using a strong word, hating. It means to dislike strongly. To have this dislike for something, and this is what Jude is saying, hating the garment stained by the flesh. The picture here is that the individuals we are dealing with, the false teachers and their followers, have become so corrupt that even their garments are defiled. And therefore there must be this balanced, healthy, godly hatred for sin. Even the very appearance of sin. Jude gets this picture from the Old Testament in Leviticus 13. When you read from verse 47 to 52. There, what Moses says is that the garments of the leper, one who had leprosy, were deemed as garments that were stained, corrupted, and therefore they needed to be burned. No one needed to use them. Because of the leper who was using them, they were stained with leprosy. And here Jude is basically saying that false teaching has this at the back of it. That the false teachers themselves are deceiving people, moving them away from what God teaches, and therefore we must have a hatred for their teaching, and even the hatred, a godly hatred for those individuals as well. But at the same time, we must maintain a balance that as we deal with them, we still want to show them God's grace in our lives and hoping that as they see it, they themselves will come to term with what the scriptures teach. There must be this hatred, godly hatred for sin. And what Jude is really saying that if you are going to contend for the faith and confront error, then you yourself must ensure that you have a healthy relationship with God. You must cultivate this hatred for the corruption of the world. That as you confront error, error in people, error in the teachers, as you confront false teaching, you yourselves are not guilty of any sin in your life that will cause the hearers to fail to listen to your word. Jude is calling for purity among God's people. That one way of contending for the faith is showing purity in our walk with the Lord. If we love sin or are entertaining sin, it will hinder our walk with the Lord and our effectiveness in contending for the faith. God hates sin, and we must have a hatred for sin. The people are trying to win to Christ, or the people are trying to show the true biblical Christianity, they need to see an honest Christianity in us. They need to see the Christianity in us that will challenge their own profession of faith. They need to see a Christianity in us that shows them that Christianity is a serious business. They need to see a Christianity in us that points them to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we contend for the faith in the face of false teaching. We're living at a time when a number of people are getting fed up of Christianity simply because of the wrong kind of picture that has been presented to them. And they feel Christians are the same. It doesn't matter what shade you fall under. They are just the same because they know someone was deceived or someone who suffered at the hands of these false teachers. And each time you talk about Christianity, that's what they have in mind. But now is the time for us to show the true biblical Christianity and show the world there is an alternative, not what they've been accustomed to or that which they've been exposed to, something that resonates with the scriptures and something that points them to Christ and something that glorifies God. This is the conduct that we need to have. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit so that every day of our lives we are reflecting the grace of God in us. So that when the world sees us, let them see Christ. This is how we're going to contend for the faith. There is room for doctrinal debates. There is room for us to try and fight inwardly. But remember, there's a world out there that is desperate, dying or being misled. And we must have mercy for such individuals. Seek to bring them biblical Christianity. That is how we're going to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. But as we do so, brethren, we must not forget to preach the gospel to the dying.
we must preach the gospel.
Now is the time for us to be filled with evangelistic zeal and preach Christ, the only hope of the world. The COVID-19, people need to hear Christ. He saved us from our sins. He can save the world from their sins. Or to put it in the words of Fanny J. Crosby, she said, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. In one of the stanzas she writes, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving hand, heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. And really, this is Jude's picture and plea. It's also Jude's command to all of us. May God help us to live true Christian lives in the midst of the world that has no hope. And as we do so, may God use our lives to bring many